kick off the hour and go down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline without further ado and welcome in Sportsnet's Arden Zwelling. Arden, good morning. How are you, sir?
Morning, man. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you, man?
Good, good.
What's life like for you in Toronto with the pandemic? I know we had Ben Nicholson-Smith on a couple of weeks ago. We were commenting. I don't know where you are. You guys have obviously been a little behind in terms of Calgary. Have you gotten a haircut, Arden?
No, but I'm actually booked in for one later this week because barbers are finally open. So there was a real rush on appointments at the beginning there, but I got one later this week. And trust me, I need it. I'm getting a lot of comments every time I have to appear on videos these days. So I'm ready to get rid of this thing.
It's a bit fuzzy. How have you, last time you've had your hair this long? Can you remember?
That's a great question, man. Probably high school. It's been a long time.
Been a long, long time. Let's get into some of the news that has been happening across Major League Baseball the last couple of days. First off, I guess just your thoughts on what's happened the last, I would say, 24-ish hours. You had a pair from the Nationals opting out. Then you had Mike Leake opting out with the Diamondbacks. Then you had Ian Desmond last night on Instagram. What do you make of that? And are you expecting more names here the next couple of days as baseball gets set to resume?
Yeah, we've been expecting this to happen, that there would be several players who would choose not to take the risk during this season and not to play for various personal reasons. And of course, you respect that. And in some ways, when you look at Ian Desmond's decision and the way that he explained it really eloquently and thoughtfully, you admire it, honestly. So I do expect that there's going to be some more players who opt to go this route. It's an interesting decision that they have to make because there's a lot of factors at play. Where are you at in your career? If you are in your first 3 years and in the majors, it's a tough call to make because A, you haven't made a lot of money in your career to this point, and B, you need that service time and you need that extra year of play so that you can hopefully get to free agency a bit sooner. Now, if you are in Ian Desmond's position or Ryan Zimmerman's where you are towards the end of your career and you've made money and signed a big free agent deal, it's somewhat easier to make that decision to sit out. And there's also factors at play in terms of whether or not you are classified as a high risk individual by MLB. And that would mean that you yourself are immunocompromised or you have some sort of characteristic medically that would make you more susceptible to suffer really adverse effects of possibly contracting the COVID-19 virus. And if you are deemed a high risk individual, well, then you can sit out the season and get your full pay and get your full service time. So that's really attractive. But then the other side is that if you just live with somebody who fits into that classification, if you live with somebody who's immunocompromised or you have newborn children, if you're around an elderly parent who might be particularly susceptible to the virus, well, then you won't get your full pay and service time if you sit out. So there are just a lot of factors the players have to consider here, and I think a lot of them are considering them right now, so I expect we'll see some more choosing to opt out.
I'm going to reference it a couple of times in this chat, but you did talk to Mark Shapiro. Are the Blue Jays anticipating any opt-outs in the next couple of days?
They aren't anticipating it. Things can certainly change, but yeah, I asked Mark Shapiro that question, and he said he wasn't expecting it. The Blue Jays roster is a pretty young one, and they are players who mostly fall into that category of being in their first 3 years of playing in the majors. So they kind of need the money, need the service time, want to play. As far as I'm aware, the Blue Jays don't have anybody on their roster who would be, deemed high risk or would be particularly susceptible to adverse effects from the virus. But the Blue Jays right now are kind of going through this extensive intake process that includes a questionnaire that will ask players about, what they've been up to and what their exposure has been and what their medical histories are and symptoms and all these kinds of things. And then they're going to go through an actual collection of samples. So once they're in Dunedin, saliva, blood, some of them might have the nose swabs, and that'll be used as well to test for who has the virus or who has had the virus. And so throughout that whole process, it's always possible that, that things can change. But as things stand right now, we aren't expecting any Blue Jays to opt out.
I guess, Arden, you kind of talked a little bit about it right there, but maybe if you could walk our listeners through what's happened the last, I would say, 36 hours for the Jays in terms of it looked like everyone was going to Toronto and then now everyone's going to Dunedin just for a quick stop. The team is still hoping to have camp and games being played in Toronto. Can you kind of walk us through what's happened inside the organization the last couple of days?
It's been a bit of a scramble for not just the last few days, really the last couple of weeks. The Blue Jays were preparing 2 to 3 weeks ago to have this summer camp in Dunedin at the facility there. And they had a real plan for how they were going to make use of their newly renovated development complex, which is not far from the ballpark in Dunedin. And then obviously use the ballpark there for any kind of intra-squad games. And towards the end of training camp, you're actually allowed to have 3 exhibition games against other clubs. And I'm sure the Blue Jays would have looked into setting something up with, you know, the Philadelphia Phillies or New York Yankees who are in the area. Well, that was 3 weeks ago, and we've all seen the case numbers spike since. And we've actually seen the Blue Jays Dunedin facility have to be shut down after players who were exposed to the virus were present there. And things in Florida have just snowballed to a degree where the Blue Jays have had to scramble and make all alternate plans. And they are hoping that that will bring them to Toronto, where they could have training camp at Rogers Center and have players staying at the hotel that is in Rogers Center. But they, you know, the Blue Jays weren't really able to get the gears in motion and the wheels moving on that in terms of getting approvals from government and setting everything up until very recently. So that process has been ongoing over the last sort of 5 to 7 days. And, you know, it sounds like the Blue Jays have satisfied what, municipal government and provincial government would want of them and the safety procedures and protocols they would want them to face. I think right now the last hurdle is just getting that federal government approval. And that would include granting an exception to get around any required quarantines for getting into the country and, you know, giving even just American players the right to enter Canada through what is currently a closed border. So there's, you know, just kind of a lot of red tape and hoops to jump through there. So the Blue Jays are going to congregate in Dunedin this week to start going through the intake process I was referring to before and get that settled. And they hope that as that process is ongoing, they will get the approval needed from the various levels of government to come up to Toronto and hold training camp there. If for some reason that doesn't happen, they will still have the option of staying in Dunedin and doing things there. But obviously, with the case numbers there and just the realities in the Florida of the virus, that would be less than ideal.
He covers the Blue Jays for Sportsnet and Sportsnet.ca. He is Arden Dwelling, and he is our guest on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline on Sportsnet 960. A couple of things from that, Arden. I guess, first off, so the Blue Jays are hoping to get away from Florida. Are you into, you know, what you've been able to hear or what the reports are? Are other teams going to stay in Florida to hold this spring training, or is it most of the teams going to their home city of where they play the 162 games?
I think most teams are looking to move to their home ballpark. For some teams, that is in Florida. every team's going to have to make their own decisions about this and is going to have to set up their own sort of bubble and their own, you know, have their own containment measures over this and also get a level of buy-in from the players to follow a lot of these rules and a lot of these restrictions so that there aren't any breaks and you don't have anyone going out to a bar one night or, you know, going to a grocery store or a cafe or what have you, meeting somebody off Tinder, whatever it is, and possibly exposing themselves to the virus, then introducing that virus into your environment. I mean, it's going to be really incumbent on the players themselves, upholding these standards, because it's not like you can just assign some sort of an enforcement officer to every player to make sure that they aren't doing any of this stuff. It's going to have to be a personal decision and something that they are, you know, willing to do and sacrifices that they are willing to make. So, most teams are, you know, going to their home ballparks, but it really does depend on, you know, where things stand in those jurisdictions and whoever makes most sense for the club.
And of course, it is so unique because you don't have minor league players essentially in your camp. You don't have the exhibition game kind of every single day. So what do you anticipate this version of spring training to look like? You mentioned the exhibition games, but maybe that can happen if you're in Toronto. What I guess are you expecting whenever the Jays do hit the field later on this week or early next week?
Yeah, it's going to be tough to find dance partners for those final exhibition games, right? You know, it's going to depend on, you know, who's kind of close to you, what markets are nearby, you know, how you minimize travel. One way around it is that you can actually schedule those exhibition games against the first team that you're playing in the regular season. For the Toronto Blue Jays, we expect that to be the Tampa Bay Rays. So they could go down to the Trop and play three exhibition games against the Rays before starting a regular season series that would actually count towards the standings. So, you know, that's one option. But until those sort of three exhibition games at the end of camp, I would expect, you know, a lot of intra-squad games. Teams are going to have up to 60 players available to participate in camp. So you could have two full teams. And, you know, you can kind of modify the rules of those games so that, you know, you are doing what's best for the workloads of pitchers, and you're not going to have any like 12 run innings or anything like that. You can kind of stop an inning at one or two outs if you just want to keep this thing moving. So I'd expect a lot of that. I'd expect a lot of live at bats between hitters and pitchers. I'd expect some simulated games on the side. It's really going to be a challenge, a unique one for development staffs and coaching staffs to try to get their teams ready for regular season in such a condensed time frame. 3 weeks to get stretched out for a pitcher is not enough. Teams are going to have to find ways to either piggyback starters or maybe use openers or run six-man rotations. They're going to have to do all kinds of creative things at the beginning of the season just because they are not going to have pitchers fully stretched out. You're not going to see Justin Verlander throwing 120 pitches in the first week of the season. So there's going to be a lot of hurdles and a lot of unique challenges that clubs are going to have to face here.
You mentioned the hotel attached to the Rogers Centre and kind of what that bubble could look like in Toronto. Maybe for those that don't understand, you've traveled with the team, you've covered baseball on the road. Just kind of walk us through what essentially some of these bubbles would look like, because I think for a lot of people, you look at the plans that each of the major sports in North America have all laid out, and almost every single one of them involves some sort of hub city. Baseball has not elected to go with that model. I guess, Arden, in your opinion, is that going to be something that could backfire on them? What do you expect road trips to look like? I guess maybe just walk us through that as best you could.
It opens you up to a lot more risk with the amount of travel that baseball is trying to accomplish during this regular season. You know, epidemiologists don't love it. Infectious disease experts, don't love this plan. You know, the NBA plan of just having everybody in a bubble at Disney World is, much preferred in that community. Even, you know, the UFC's plan of like just having an island in Abu Dhabi with 10 square miles where, you know, this radius where everybody is tested and everybody is safe is much preferred to what MLB is trying to do. So, you know, on a road trip, I think that, you know, the ideal circumstance would be you fly into the city on your own private chartered plane and you land at a private gate away from public people and you go through screening and security and what have you there. You get on your own bus, take that bus to the team hotel in Toronto. The nice thing is that that hotel is connected to the ballpark. So, in an ideal world, players would never even have to leave the building. Now, is that reasonable to expect them to stay at Rogers Center for 72 hours straight without ever going outside and getting fresh air? I don't know. Can we expect that players are all going to follow that to the letter of the law? I don't know. But that would be the ideal scenario. For the Blue Jays being on the road, their hotel likely would not be connected to the ballpark, so they would have to go to that hotel, stay at that hotel, have everything delivered to their rooms, not go out. Just basically be isolated there and then get back on that team bus, which would take them straight to the ballpark and straight back to the hotel. You do that three times through three games, get on your private bus, back to the airport, same gate, same plane you came in on, and you get out of there with as little exposure to the public as possible. So it's going to be very difficult to pull off, but you're trying to play, you know, professional baseball during a global pandemic in a country that is essentially the epicenter of that pandemic right now. So it's going to be challenging. And there's going to be a lot of, different stipulations that you're going to have to follow, and a lot of challenges. The player's going to have to accept a lot of sacrifices that they're going to have to make if this is going to be pulled off safely.
Arden Zwelling of Sportsnet is our guest, talking all things baseball and the Blue Jays, who are still waiting for federal government clearance, but hoping to go back to Toronto to open up camp and then play games at the Rogers Centre whenever the season does begin, right now scheduled for July 23rd or 24th. You've mentioned it. It's not going to be your typical season. You've got a couple of rule tweaks in there. You've got a universal DH. You've got extra innings changes to make sure that games don't go, 16, 17 innings. I guess all that put into one, Arden, how does a 60-game season stack up for a young Blue Jay team?
Could be interesting because there is certainly the possibility in a 60-game season for a team to outperform its win expectancy and its true potential, to get hot at the right time and go on a run and run into some teams that aren't playing their best and put up some wins quickly and put themselves in a very good position. Now, the other side of that volatility is that things could go very wrong. And look, if the Blue Jays start the season 0-8, that's the end. Like, that's it. That's going to be very hard to overcome that. Or if your best player has to miss 3 weeks because he pulled his hamstring, or your best pitcher has to miss a week or two because he tested positive for COVID-19, that could dramatically affect your chances as well in such a short sample. Usually, over a 162-game season, like, there's just enough time for all of the baseball weirdness and chaos and strangeness that we see to kind of average out. Over 60 games, you don't have that opportunity. So every time a ball slips out of a reliever's hand on a pitch when he's trying to protect a one-run lead and he ends up giving up a two-run bomb that loses the game, that matters a lot more. Every time a ground ball skips under an infielder's glove or a stiff breeze carries a fly ball over, just over the outfield fence when it would have been caught on a still day, that matters so much more. Like, the implications of that are so much greater. So we are going to see some weirdness during this MLB season, and we are going to see some chaos. And I think we are going to see at least one, if not a couple, teams that aren't expected to contend to actually reach the postseason, and we'll probably see a team or two that are expected to be really good or expected to be playoff teams that don't make it because they're running into some bad luck or some poor fortune with injuries and things like that. Will the Blue Jays be one of those teams that outperforms their expectation? Perhaps. It's certainly possible. The thing working against them is they're going to have just an absolutely awful schedule against the AL East, which obviously has the Tampa Bay Rays and New York Yankees, which are two just monster teams, plus the Boston Red Sox, who are no joke as well. And then they're going to play the NL East, where you've got teams like the Phillies and the Nationals, who won the World Series last year, and the Braves and the Mets, who are expected to be pretty good this year as well. I mean, the Blue Jays are really only looking at the Orioles and Marlins as soft spots in their schedule. Otherwise, they are playing very good teams the majority of the time. So it's going to be tough for them to outperform their potential, but 60 games, so anything can happen.
On the weekend, the team also released their 60-man player pool. Anything surprise you there? Any inclusions that maybe you weren't expecting?
Nothing surprised me. It was exactly what I thought it would be. There's basically three categories here, right? There are the regulars, so the players that we expected to make up the Blue Jays 26-man roster coming out of spring. So obviously your Vladimir Guerrero Juniors, and Hyunjin Ryu, and Bo Bichette, and bullpen arms like Ken Giles and Anthony Bass, etc. So you've got your regulars, and then you've kind of got your depth group, which would be players who likely would have made up the AAA Buffalo Bisons this year. So you look at guys like Santiago Espinal and Jonathan Davis and Forrest Wall, Jacob Wagesback, Sean Reed Foley. And those are the players who will be called upon if the Blue Jays have to deal with any injuries or have to deal with any COVID-related absences during the season. And every team is trying to build out as much of that depth as possible, because you basically have to expect that in this accelerated buildup through summer camp and in this accelerated season where players are just going to be full go right away, you're probably going to see more soft tissue injuries. You're probably going to see more hamstrings being pulled and obliques being tweaked. So you're going to need a good group of depth guys to help you try to stay competitive during those periods. And also, there's always the possibility of guys getting sick and getting COVID-19. So you want a lot of depth build out. So that's the second kind of section tier of the Blue Jays roster there. Then the third one is just a few really high upside, high potential prospects from deep down in the system. That would be a Jordan Groshans, Alec Manoa, Alejandro Kirk, who's a young catcher, Simeon Woods Richardson, who's a 19-year-old pitcher who came over in the Marcus Stroman deal. And these are guys who the Blue Jays just want to give some opportunities to develop and to be exposed to a highly competitive environment and to be, you know, learning from some of their best coaches and just have top-tier instruction and to basically not waste the next 2 months, because there isn't going to be minor league baseball and those players aren't going to have games to play. So you're not going to see those guys right. playing for the Toronto Blue Jays this year, but they will at least get the opportunity to rub shoulders with big leaguers and to be working with a purpose in a competitive environment every day, and hopefully get some development time out of what is a lost season for minor leaguers.
Now, and the one name that every fan goes to, and they're wondering, okay, what does a 60-game season mean for the service time and the approach the organization had for a guy like Nate Pearson? What's your expectation for him in 2020?
So let's game this out from the team's perspective. The upside of holding Nate Pearson down at the beginning of the season for about 7 to 10 days so that he doesn't accrue a full season's worth of service time, which would be about 62 days this year, is you essentially trade one start of Nate Pearson in a 60-game season for an extra year of contractual control in 2026 or whatever it would be, when Nate Pearson will be, I don't know, he'll at that point he'll be 28, 29 or something, and you would think in his prime and pitching very well. So that's, you know, on paper, that's a very easy trade-off to make. But the cons of doing something like that would be, one, really, really bad PR. People like you and I on the radio tearing this organization to shreds for, you know, being cheap and doing something like that. And the fans would be pissed off and it would just be a really bad look. Like, you would face criticism across baseball for that. Two, you'd piss off the player. Nate Pearson would say, hey, like, why are you screwing around with me? Like, do you want to win or not? This is a bad look. You know, I'm unhappy with the organization about this. Other players in the clubhouse would likely be unhappy with the organization about it, not only because they were trying to game an extra year of control out of Nate Pearson, in which they don't have to pay him as much as they might have to on the open market, but also because they aren't putting their best foot forward in terms of competitiveness. And you aren't putting your best pitchers on the team at the beginning of the season. So are you really trying your hardest to win? And number three, you would likely face a grievance, which might or might not go anywhere. Chris Bryant filed a grievance against the Chicago Cubs through the union for service, similar service time manipulation issues, and didn't really go anywhere. So the Blue Jays might not be that scared of something like that, but it's still something that they would likely face, because if they did hold him down for just the 7 to 10 days, whatever it is, to gain that extra year of service control, it would just be so nakedly obvious what they were doing, because they really can't make a developmental argument. And if this was a normal season, like, Nate Pearson would have started in Buffalo, and a side benefit of that for the Blue Jays obviously would have been that extra year of control, but also they could have said, look, he's still working on developing his off-speed stuff, he hasn't spent much time at the, you know, upper minors, like, there is still some development here. As things stand now, like, you just can't make that argument anymore, because if you held Nate Pearson down, he would be going to what is being deemed the alternate training site, which will likely be in Buffalo, New York, at Salem Field, which is where, you know, those players like your Groshans and your Manoas and your Woods Richardsons are going to go. And basically, Nate Pearson would just be throwing side sessions and sim games. He wouldn't be appearing in minor league games. He wouldn't be doing the developmental things that the club wants him to do in order to be his best. I mean, arguably, the best thing for his development would actually be to be on the major league roster and pitching in games and facing live hitters and facing actual competition, something he hasn't done in a long time. So we'll see what the Blue Jays do. No one knows right now what they're going to do. I don't think they've like thought about, well, they thought about it. I don't think that they've like determined or decided what they're going to do. I mean, they're going to play this process out through summer camp and see where things stand when they have to make a roster decision, what Nate Pearson looks like, how healthy he is, what their roster composition looks like, and they're going to make a decision there. But those are some of the factors that are going to be at play when this decision does come to bear.
Two quick ones to wrap it up. First off, any update that you can give us? There might not be anything, but I thought I'd ask you while I have you on first-round pick Austin Martin.
I believe he will sign. The Blue Jays are optimistic he will sign. The incentives are so great on both sides to get a deal done. Firstly, like, he fell to the Blue Jays number five and never should have been there for them, so it would be a massive disappointment for them not to get a deal done. And they have saved some money in which they can pay him over slot through signing another pick for a below slot value deal. And from Austin Martin's side, you know, you re-enter. So if he doesn't sign, he would be looking to re-enter the draft next year, but we don't know what the draft's going to look like next year. We don't know what the bonus pools are going to be, and those are a factor of revenue. Right. So we don't really know what revenue is going to look like this year. He would be looking to move up one of four spots, and there's really no guarantee he would be getting that much.
He'd be playing with fire at that point, is what you're saying.
Exactly. He could get hurt. There might not be a college season for him to return right. to. He could, you know, suffer a decline in performance. So I just don't really see the upside in that play for him. It's always important to remember he's represented by Scott Boras, and Scott Boras has done similar things with Anthony Rendon and other, you know, Garrett Cole and other blue chip drafty prospects, where he just winds things down right down to the deadline. So I think something will get done before the deadline, but there might not be that much time left on the clock when it does get done.
And then finally, I guess just take us through, for maybe someone that have not heard about it, what are you doing at the top of the hour on YouTube?
SNIQ, which is like a trivia show that Shy to Be, Ben Nixon Smith, and myself have been doing on YouTube and on Facebook. We essentially just have like 20 Blue Jays trivia questions that fans can play along with on an app called Kahoot, and fans compete with each other to be the champion of that week's trivia. But, you know, it's really just a way for Ben, Shy, and I to talk about baseball and talk about the game and have some of these discussions during, you know, a trivia game. So fans can kind of play trivia along with us as we chat about baseball and hopefully are interesting, entertaining, or at least informative.
You can check out the link for that or go to YouTube at the top of the hour, because SNIQ is coming up at 10 o'clock our time with Shy, Ben, and Arden. And again, all the information on Arden's Twitter at Arden's Dwelling. Arden, we appreciate your time, man. Enjoy the rest of your day. Happy Canada Day, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you, sir. Happy Canada Day. Be well.